Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money in refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
LinkedIn is pretty great at a lot of things, like helping you tap into the latest trends and insights in your field. We cannot stop your coworker from tapping her pencil. LinkedIn can help you find new jobs that align with your career goals. We cannot help you find the source of that weird smell in the office fridge. Ew. And while we can't stop your coworkers from bringing their hobbies into the office, LinkedIn can help you bring your career to the next level. LinkedIn is the network that works for you.
Kraft Mac and Cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft Mac and Cheese, best thing ever.
Are we allowed to talk about our new baby that we possibly could be coming out here shortly?
This could be the launch of it, but we can always, you know, throw some Easter eggs out. We can always... But yeah, I think we should.
We just won't go into hyper detail, you know, just a little bit. But I mean, so basically we are coming out with an industry disruptor a little bit for, I'm not going to say the name of it, but.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brewley, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the archery range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems. All right, everybody, welcome to The Range. I'm Ricky Brule here with Jake Hollywood Iverson.
What is up, y'all?
Hey. Thank you all for joining us for episode 2, The Present and Future of Vapor Trail Archery and Stokerized Stabilizers. Joining us today in The Range is Rory O'Loughlin, President and CEO. What's going on, man? How are you?
Doing great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, man. How was the weekend? Would you do anything fun?
Yeah. 4-year-old daughter had her birthday, so got to go to Dave and Buster's and blast some zombies with a machine gun. It was her first time. I thought she was going to be running out of the game crying. She was, like, into it.
So that's awesome.
She was like, another round, Dad, another round.
She's all for shooting.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No nightmares?
I mean,
yeah, that might
I'm pretty
be follow-up.
Sure if she does, she'll have a machine gun in her hands.
So it's perfect then, right? Sweet, dude. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I spent the weekend helping. Well, I was here for the Fondy shoot, of course, for like the first half. Hollywood was here for the whole day.
The whole half.
Yeah, got the joys of the whole thing. I was kind of bummed that I couldn't be here the whole day, but then I spent all of Sunday helping my buddy put rip carpeting up in his basement and put new flooring in. So
does that bring back some memories?
Super sore.
I'd say that's a good workout.
Oh man, my knees, dude. My toes. Weird.
A year ago,
a lot of deadlifting.
We were doing that here,
right? Yeah, so. That's right. We were drywalling, and we'll get into that some more. So I'm kind of excited about that. But all right, cool. Well, we just wanted to do a quick recap from episode 1, touch on a few details that we missed out on. You know, there were some things we talked about that maybe some of our listeners wanted some more details on. So I'm just going to jump right into it. Feel free to jump in, you guys, anytime if you have a comment or anything you want to say. And again, I'm going to kind of be reading this verbatim just so I don't miss anything. I apologize if I start to sound too robotic, but in the beginning, Jared Fondy started Vapor Trail in his basement in 1993. As a target shooter, he began to build his own bowstrings so he had more control over his equipment. Steve made a really interesting comment, too, about how back then, you know, strings stretched so much and they actually wanted them to stretch. Mm-hmm. And then they later come to find out that, okay, that's not such a good thing, especially for target shooters. And then I was listening to that episode with Cameron Haynes and Wayne Endicott, and they were talking about how it was so bad that you get to the point where you got your bow tuned and then you wouldn't want to shoot it again for, you know, until like you absolutely
until
needed
kill
to.
Shot basically.
Oh my gosh.
Because wow. it was that bad. I was just shocked by that. So that was kind of cool. By 2000, things really start to take off with a big contract from Bowtech. Jared's brother, Steve, gets on board and VT is officially incorporated. Going back to the previous episode, we talked about a gentleman by the name of Paul Gotze, and that's kind of, we missed a part of that where Paul met Jared, and then so he had a connection with Bowtech. So Paul Gotze had that connection. That's where that all took place and how that all happened. VTX bowstring material is born and was the first of its kind with its proprietary combination of Dyneema and Vectran fibers. So what he did was, it was basically just different deniers playing around with different combinations of, you know, percentages of those two materials, and then came up with it's a little thicker per strand. So we run a 16 strand string as opposed to your typical like 22, 24, whether you're using 452 or whatever you're using. So those are a little more details I wanted to get on that.
What's the benefits of that?
Through testing and all of that, he found that it held up better in varying weather conditions. So nice. One example that he told me about is when he would go to tournaments down south, and you're in the winter, right? So you're up here shooting in the cold, and then you go down there and you're in the heat, and then everything would move, and everybody'd be on the range resighting in, making adjustments, you know, all that kind of stuff. And with the VTX, he never had to do that.
That's awesome.
Very rarely did he have to really make too many moves. His peep would still be coming back straight the way that he wanted it and everything. So that's what they found, is it held up better in varying weather conditions.
Nice.
So moving on, VT moves into their first facility in 2003, small office space with remote building stations all over the state. Steve was saying that they had cousins, family members all over the place building because they had so much that they had to do.
they drive all the way up to the iron range, which is like 4 or 5 hours away, to pick up tied or laid out strings, bring them back down here, and then they'd get them served up on the machines down here. And then Jared invents limb-driven technology in 2005, and the limb driver Aero Rest was born. 2006, I started working for Vapor Trail as a part-time bowstring builder, later then became their graphic designer, moved on to become the bowstring manager, then production manager, and now creative director and special operations manager.
Special ops.
Can't forget that part. Spec ops. It's a very important role. I come walking in with night vision goggles on.
Almost. I mean, it's that level of expertise needed, that's for sure, for some of the stuff you got working on, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Where are we at here? So 2007 operation moves to a 3,000 square foot facility down the road. I had been saying 2,500, but I guess it's 3,000. So just wanted to throw that tidbit in there. 2011, Jared Earsmeyer comes on as general manager, plays a critical role in the development of the brand with his good looks and superb beard. It's just crazy. It's like so perfect all the time. Yeah, but he's got to keep it all prim and proper now with his new job. So, okay. 2014, the legend Jared Fondi passes, and we continue to push forward despite a huge loss to the archery industry. In 2016, John Becker, former Olympic ski jumping medalist, joins the team as sales and marketing director, adding further growth to the business with his genuine and kind-hearted nature. He is now our director of operations. January 2020, Rory and his brother Patrick acquire Vapor Trail. So that brings us kind of up to speed to basically the end of the conversation we had with Steve. So we just kind of want to go back a bit, talk about when this process first started of you acquiring Vapor Trail, and just kind of see, you know, get your thoughts on that, how it felt, what it was like, the whole process.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I'm from the North Texas area. So, that's where I met my wife. She was a nurse at Parkland Hospital, which is the same one JFK was brought to after he was assassinated. We're volunteering at a dog rescue, and that's how we met. So we're obviously things worked out. We had a kid. It was the first year of having our daughter, and she wanted to move back to family. And so, as you guys know, it's a small world. Mm-hmm. My wife is from Ham Lake, Minnesota, yep. Which happens to be where Vapor Trail was stationed for over a decade and was where it was when we purchased it. So just a small world in the sense that my wife and Vapor Trail are from the same city.
And I live there too.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
It's why it's a special place in my heart. I was doing commercial finance in North Texas, and I was not going to start all over again. So I was like, you know what? I've been entrepreneurial most of my life. That's the reason I worked with entrepreneurs. I loved it. I think the very first like entrepreneurial like pat on the back I got was when I was in Boy Scouts. We had a popcorn raising competition, and I remember I was like, you know what, I'm gonna win this thing. And so I asked my dad to help me. He was, I think it was like a Sunday, and he was like, sure, hop in the truck. So hop in the truck. He brings a six pack with him because it's Texas, and you know, I'm kind of older, and it's totally legal at that time period where you can just drink and drive around, which he took me from like neighbor to neighbor in this, you know, horse country neighborhood. And he was listening to the Texas Rangers the whole time, drinking beer. And he would send me to the front porch, and we would, I would just sell popcorn. So, nice. Yeah. I got a sweet popcorn hat. Yeah,
for all of your work.
Well, yeah, for doing most of the sales. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Pack 262 Den 6.
There you go.
Yeah,
if you're still out there,
there you go.
So dude, anyway,
that's awesome. I didn't know you were a Boy Scout. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Long time. So anyway, I always was entrepreneurial. Worked with entrepreneurs, and so I was like, you know what, it's time to own my own business. And so when we moved to Ham Lake, obviously I met Steve, and we were talking back and forth about, you know, Vapor Trail and how he was a little bit burned out. I think you know, not to go into too many details, but I think the passing of Jared had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a rough time for him and his family. And so I think he was ready to let Vapor Trail go into the hands of someone else that was passionate and dedicated to keeping the brand alive and making sure that that flame continues.
Right. So yeah,
hopefully I bring somewhat of that to Vapor Trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I have to thank you for keeping us on, right? Because all the offers they had on the table where they were just like, they just wanted to come in, move the operation, get rid of everybody, just fresh, clean slate, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Know? Vulture style.
Yeah.
They're coming in to dismantle. Yeah.
Yeah. You came in trusting us blindly. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there's some of that had to do with, you know, just, you know, Steve maybe, you know, talking to you about how important we were to the business, but at the same time, still like, so I thank you for that, for still being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we are talking,
yeah,
you know, in a podcast. So wouldn't have seen that coming, but super grateful and feel blessed to be here still. So.
Yeah, me as well. No, it's a great family that we've all built here, and the culture is amazing. So, but I'm glad to be a part of it.
Right. So when you were like the details about how it all kind of came about, like where, how did you find out that Steve was selling it, or how did you get connected with what I call the Steves, Steve Fondi and
Steve Weiss,
Steve right? Weiss.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just like they have like, real estate agents or brokers, for real estate, they have them for businesses. And so I was in touch with, one that was national.
Okay.
He was on the buy side, which, you know, I would be technically a buyer. And so he, had a handful of companies in the MSP area, and we're going down the list, and he goes, "This is archery one. I don't know if you'd be interested." I'm like, my eyes lit up. I'm like, what?
Right. I'd have done the same.
Yeah. You know, me being a bow hunter since I was a kid, I was, all of a sudden super jazzed about the opportunity. And honestly, it was so weird during the process, because the whole time, like, this course is too good to be true. It's not gonna work out.
Right.
You know, something's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You know, these things fall apart all times.
So right.
Like, I was like that all the way up to the closing table.
Mm.
And then I was like, wow, it really happened. This is really cool.
Yeah. 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 It was kind of a wild day. It was a Friday, and we're all just getting ready to, you know, I think it was like 2 o'clock or something, and we usually would leave at 3. So we're just like getting ready, getting cleaned up.
2 days after the new year too.
Yeah.
So January 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a Friday, right?
Yeah. January 3rd, 2020.
Yeah. So it's just like, all of a sudden Steve's like, "Hey, you let's go. We're leaving now." What? Mm-hmm. Okay. So me and Ears and Johnny pile into his truck and drive down to the, was it a Holiday Inn Express? Yeah, I think the new one,
really fancy,
right there behind where Gander Mountain used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and meanwhile, this whole time, you know, we're all just kind of like,
oh, sounds like a backdoor deal going on back.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, we're going into this.
I was the bar across the street, for the record. And then we just closed like that morning, and, you know, the Steves were running late, you know, getting you guys there. And so I was just remembering, I was like, man, you know, these guys, I have no clue what they're going to think of me as their new boss. And so I'm like, you know, just sitting there, you know, drinking a few Jamesons, just to relax to, you know, get to know you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit too, when we finally get into like this little conference room, right. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. It could go either way. I don't know. I might be losing my job right now, or I have no idea. No clue, right? It's just, and then, so then they break it to us what's going on. So I'm expecting a suit, right? Like,
oh yeah.
You know, like a guy in his 50s.
Private equity nerd.
Yeah. Like, you know, silver fox, you know, groomed really well. and then you walk in, badass leather jacket. You know, I'm like, okay,
jeans
wearing
on,
a baseball cap. So I'm like, all right. You know, I'm like, this is okay. You know, we'll see how this goes and everything. And yeah, the conversation went well. And you know, I don't know. It was honestly a huge relief.
Okay.
Cause I just didn't know. Good. I was like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah. Because you said once you left the finance world, that was it with the suit and tie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I threw them all out. I think I have, I think, a total of two. One for weddings and one for funerals. It's just like, there we go. Hopefully I use them for the first one. It's not the latter.
Right. Now you can relax with us blue collar boys.
Yeah. No, it was good. I was just, again, so just like, all right, this is going to be cool. Let's see how, you know, and still a little guarded, but you know, you just,
of course,
you know, it's like from Texas, you know, it's almost a little bit of a different world there than it is up here. You know, so then it's just like, all right, we'll see how this goes. But, so I just wanted to ask like your first impression on the Steves. Like, what did you,
I mean, Steve and I, as in Fondy, we were pen pals back and forth. You know, if I had questions, I'd give him a call or, you know, shoot him emails, stuff like that. And I actually just met him, for the first time, when I was coming up to do some bow hunting in Wisconsin, in November with, my father-in-law and, you know, they're rifle hunters. I've always been the lonely bow hunter during rifle season in Wisconsin. What the hell am I thinking, man? But anyway, it's, you know, it's a private land and it's a, you know, over a couple hundred acres. So it's an invite, right? It's a new place to hunt. So, I was doing that for like 6 years, before, I met Steve. I'd always come up. That was the cool thing about, my wife, you know, having, a really cool father-in-law. That was the way we bonded, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we sat down at a bar and, had a few Guinnesses and we, you know, finally got to, really know each other, just, you know, not just, business, but on a personal level too. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, I was like, all right, man, well, we got like a month and a half to go. Will you have any reservations? He's like, no, you're a bow hunter. You're a nice guy. We're good. We're doing this. I was like, okay, cool. Right on, man.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
So everybody's had the opportunity to kind of meet Steve Fondy. But as far as like, I have a good story about Steve Weiss, and he was technically like a consultant or right. Like, I don't know what the technical term would be for his title or role in the
go-getter, the business talker.
I had met him long before. Like, I met him right when I moved to Minneapolis, and I just so happened to, when I moved here, I went on apartments.com and I found a place to stay, a room to stay, with a gentleman by the name of John Patchen. Really nice guy, cool dude. I think he's an electronics engineer or something like that. I can't remember. But so Steve was really good buddies with him. Steve Weiss was.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like sitting in my house or sitting in my room, you know, and just kicking it. Doing whatever. And all of a sudden he shows up. So he was friends with John and he's like, yeah, so I heard you have a Desert Eagle 50 cal. And I had won one at the Safari Club International banquet that year. And so I was like, yeah, he was like, can I see it? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, so I had a little handgun safe and I pulled it out and just make sure the chamber was clear and everything. And I handed it off to him. And it was really, he was just like, whoa, this is sweet. You know, just like watching him just like, you know, pop the mag and jam it in. And he was just like, this thing is so cool. Mm-hmm. And so that was like the first time I ever met him. And then he just like hung out in my doorway and we just sat there and talked about guns for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then years later, right? Like I knew that there was like kind of a relationship there because I had a Vapor Trail sticker on my bow case. And when John Patchen, the guy who owned the house, was helping me move my stuff in, he goes, oh, do you know those guys? He goes, do you know Fondles? And I'm like, Fondles, who's that? And I hadn't met Steve and Jared yet. Mm-hmm. I knew about Vapor Trail, but I hadn't met them yet. So then he was like, well, they own, you know, Jared, Steve Fondy, they own. And I think that was the nickname he had for them or something like that. I've never heard anybody else call him that. But so that's kind of the story. And then just crazy to think that however many years later, 14 years later, whatever it is, that he was going to be a part of that transaction is wild.
Yeah, I think consultant's the right term for him because he was, you know, behind the HR documents too of Vapor Trail and what he helped on the 401k plan. And so he's always had his hand in a few of the inner workings of Vapor Trail behind the scenes. And every time, like, I had a very detailed business question or regarded the finances or anything like that. To Fondi. Fondi'd be like, yeah, you need to talk to the other Steve. Okay. Yep. I'll give him a shout.
Yeah. Yeah. He helped me start my 401k too. So
nice.
All right. Well, so moving on, things start to move really, really fast, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to lay out the situation here for everybody. So, you buy the company, we're already kind of in the process of starting to develop a new aero rest. We've got one that we just finished up. Mm-hmm. COVID hits.
Yeah, Gen 7X just came out. Yep. And we were working on another one, which I can't say the name yet because yep. it's 3 years, 3.5 years in the making now.
Yeah, yeah. And then sales go through the roof, right, because of COVID. COVID hits, and sales just go crazy. And then my daughter's going to be born, so I take 3 months off. You know, well, that was in August, so that was a little bit later. And then 1 year in, the opportunity to acquire Stoker Eyes comes along. So it's just like all these things are happening like really, really, really fast. And yeah, I mean,
not to mention the craziness of COVID too.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, all of a sudden we're like really slow, you know, because it just crept in from China, you know, in December.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the official shutdowns were in March.
March.
And then, so we had a solid month. I think it was, you know, 30 days stay home or 2 weeks, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, it was being crickets during that time period. Mm-hmm. And then we all returned back to work. And then all of a sudden, just the phones explode.
Just fire.
And then, boom, we're on the defensive. You know, yeah. All we're trying to do is keep up and keep our customers happy, our dealers happy. And
mm-hmm.
It was an awesome challenge. It was super fun. Definitely don't want to do it again because definitely don't want to get, you know, 3 weeks behind on strings, you know,
yeah.
Which, you know, we've come a long way, you know, now we're back to our 3-day guarantee and we have the production capacity and all the equipment put in place and people to make that happen.
Yeah. And so for the folks that don't know, we had a 3-day guarantee in the past. It was really a big part of our success. Mm-hmm. And for as many years as I've been here, I don't think we'd ever gone beyond 2 days. Right. Maybe we'd get like 2.5, but we'd always do whatever we had to do to make sure that that everything got done.
Yeah.
And, but it was within reason, yeah. You know, and when that year hit, it was just there.
No one was up to speed.
Well,
you know, no one could ship in 3 days.
Right. It was
6 months for some of our competitors or other, you know, archery manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just going to circle back and say internally, you know, taking a step back after Rory acquired the company, that's when roles had changed. And so Rick was no longer bowstring manager, and I'm just going to fight for myself here, but... Yeah. That was my first year of mm-hmm. managing the bowstring department. I got vetted for the job, and I remember that same thing. We actually went in when Rory acquired this from Steve. There was no inventory, so during all of this, doing an inventory change to a whole new system where we have all of our beans counted, and then all of a sudden everything shuts down.
Yeah, no, and let me just jump in there because like. You think about all the different color combinations of bowstrings, whether it's 452X or VTX, you know, and then go to the aero rest department. You have 14 different, you know, color rubber cages, you know, and then, yeah, all the parts that go into that. Some are universal, some aren't. So it's just, you know, I remember the first week I was in Vapor Trail, and I sent an email to ears, and I was like, so what inventory management system do you have in place here? And he goes, it's all in my head. And I'm just like, whoa, doesn't pass the bus test.
No.
You know, I always bring up the bus test. Bus test means if you get ran over, guess what? We're screwed.
Yeah. Who's going to,
so it's gotta be, you? It's gotta be an open box. Knowledge. Everyone's got to know inventory, not just one person in their head.
Yeah.
Right. And then I just remember when those crickets came, I had a feeling, I was just like, I think we're going to get screwed. Like, we're going to get slammed real hard,
yeah.
Like, real quick, because then they started talking about the government free money. I'm like, oh, boy. And then it just lit on fire. And like what Rick was saying, we never went past, like, 2.5, maybe 3 days tops is what we were ever at.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, would we get to all of but July, and we hit, like, 10 days?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a terrible look for myself.
And all while we're doing this, we're implementing a new inventory management system.
yeah,
in our entire business.
That went live June 1, I think.
Yeah. We don't have to say the name of it, but it's the same inventory management system that NASA uses for their asset tracking. So, I mean, I'm not saying we're rocket scientists here, but we still use the same software as rocket scientists, okay? So it makes everything make sense. Yeah. As far as like inventory in and out, parts in, product out, all the different color options, everything.
So, I mean, you showed up the worst possible time, but the best possible time, amazing sales, but also terribly far behind. You know, we're just busting at the seams with string, like orders. Everyone needs a string apparently in 2020. And then Rick goes and has his kid, and just to pile it on, because I was using Rick as, you know, my mentor, you know, and now he's gone for a couple weeks anyway. And then, oh my gosh, it was just, first year was just insane. It's blazing. Yeah.
I mean, you guys did good despite the challenges, right? Like, I come back and there's almost a whole new crew, people I've never even met, you know, 10 or, you know, something like that. I just remember the learning curve with that inventory management system was insane. And sitting in those meetings and even times where we're talking to the tech reps or whoever it was we were talking to on the phone, we were stumping them. They're like, that's interesting. I don't know how we would do that.
Yeah, we were basically stretching the capabilities of the software to the furthest extent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. With as many just options that we have and all that kind of stuff. But it ended up working out. And so we're much better off for it. No doubt about that. Because you definitely can't rely on someone's, especially now. Like, it's so much more complicated than it was then.
Yeah.
Stokerized stabilizers, acquired them in 2021?
Yeah. It was February of 21 is when we flew out there. So I think it started, it started in 20. We reached out during the hunting season of 20 because we wanted to collaborate on an actual stabilizer with Stokerized. So we reached out to Stokerized, and we got in touch with Kyle Stokes and Sean Lutz, and we wanted to collaborate with a stabilizer, and they responded with, hey, what do you think about acquiring us? And so all of a sudden, you know, interest has peaked, and so we're definitely, you know, all of a sudden, like, can't do it during busy season, you know. We're just like, okay, yes, we're totally interested. Let's continue this in February where we can actually take a breather and let's do it. So the new year, 2021, comes around. Call up Kyle. Hey, man, so we're serious about this, if you are. So we want to fly out to Pennsylvania. We're going to get a 30-foot U-Haul truck, and we're going to bring a video recorder. And we're going to go through Stokerized boot camp and hang out with you guys for a solid week and record everything.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. It was me and Hollywood and Kyle, Marin at the time.
I was jealous. I was really jealous.
You were gone. Otherwise, you would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you were doing God's work. Come on. You had a beautiful daughter.
Yeah, dude, I'll never take that. I'll never regret that time.
Got to spend time with her.
That was awesome.
I remember because it was the first conversation that, you know, after you came back, you're like, hey, so how's it going? I was like, really good. We bought Stokerized. And you're just like, what? It's like, yeah, man, we did. Yeah. Because, you know, you can't talk about those things until they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, of course, the people that are working on getting it done. So, we spent a very good time with Kyle Stokes and Sean Lutz, and we'd go out to eat with them at night and get up early in the morning and learn the ways of Stokerized.
Yeah. I think Rick was almost lucky to miss out. That trip was brutal.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't just, you know, butterflies and rainbows. I mean, from the get-go, our plane was delayed, fly into a blizzard.
We like all shared a hotel room, us three guys, and we'd get back to the room after like having a few drinks and dinner, and I'd be like, all right, we got to start on the inventory management
system. Let's go.
We have to, you know, get going on this. So we probably averaged 3-4 hours.
Yeah. We were up till 1-2 in the morning every night doing you know, entering inventory, getting everything set, and then
because here comes another
up at seven, yep. or six, whatever it was,
and here comes another business that has a billion color combinations, options,
yeah.
options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we're just like, wow, well, good thing we just invested all this money in this inventory management system because we're going to be able to roll them up just nicely, which we did. It just ended up being a lot bigger task than we imagined,
yeah.
as far as putting it in place. And then, you know, it worked out great. I mean, everyone was happy, and we got the Stokerized trailer that we have in our warehouse mm-hmm. that came along with the acquisition. We got all their equipment, marketing equipment. Of course, we had, you know, over 100 grand of inventory to bring back
yeah.
in the 30-foot U-Haul truck, and then the trailer is behind the 30-foot U-Haul truck, and so we're driving back during February, where it's a complete like whiteout blizzard,
another snowstorm.
You're like cruising along the south shores of all the Great Lakes, right, where like some of the harshest weather can be yeah. in the winter.
We were yeah. actually in the Appalachian Mountains for a little bit.
Yeah, and I think like the whole week we had probably accumulation of 15 hours of sleep, and then we're like driving back in a whiteout snowstorm, and we left at like 6 p.m. And so we're like, we're just going to drive through the night. We'll get there. And yeah, the Appalachian Mountains was brutal with the snowstorm. And like Kyle and Wood are like rolling down a window because there's ice like stuck to our windshield wipers. And the ice would just move up and down and I couldn't see anything. It's like, guys, are we on the road? I don't know. Cause we're just, it's a windy bend in the Appalachian Mountains. And finally I'm like nodding. I'm like, this is not safe. We totally got to find a hotel room, get 3 to 4 hours like we have been every night for the last 4 or 5 nights. And that's what we did. It was nice. Yeah. It was a cozy.
You're pretty
place.
Much delirious by the time you were trying to check in. It was the funniest thing watching him try and function any sort of payment processing.
Yeah. I was at the point of hallucinations for sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That was the most solid, I think, 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, God, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
I think that it was so mesmerized. I was mesmerized by how Kyle just jumped out of bed when the alarm went off. I was like,
he was just ready whew. To go.
It's just like he popped out and he's like fully ready to go. but yeah, and then awesome. We made it home on a Sunday because we left that.
Yeah. Did
we leave on a Friday night? Yeah, we did.
Friday night. And then.
Is that right?
Yeah. Then. No, we would have had to get back on Saturday then, didn't we?
It was really late Saturday then?
Yeah, then Sunday we had the whole crew at Vapor Trail.
Yeah, it's come right, in the and next help. Morning. That's right, another yeah. night where we had 3 to 4 hours.
0 hours of sleep, yeah. We just unload it now.
Yeah, then we unloaded it and set it up, and we were already at 3,000 square feet space that was fully busting at the seams, and so we just made it worse.
Yeah.
And but we found the space somehow. I guess, you know, when you can't build out, you build up, right?
So yeah.
That's yep. what we did. We built a bunch of mezzanines. We'll look like Ewok villages.
That's exactly what they looked like, too. Well, after hearing that story, I'm not really jealous anymore that I didn't get to go.
No. I know you had a little thing in there. We might have forgotten a big point in that trip back, about 1 hour out of leaving there.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't you have a little bit of a mishap with the trailer or something?
Yeah, we might have been rolling down the highway before we hit the Appalachian Mountains, and all of a sudden there's like no cars passing us. We're like, what is going on? This is after, you know, it's Friday night. Like, this should be busy on the highway Friday night. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's a brave trucker that pulled up to the side of us, and he's like waving us down with his, you know, window down. And I'm like, what is he saying? And I roll down my window, you know, the snow's starting to come. He goes, your trailer. And then I look back and I just see sparks flying. It's like, oh, shit. We totally had a blowout with the trailer. And it's a 30-foot, you know, U-Haul truck. And then there are Stokerized trailers. So it's just like, I can't see the trailer.
Yeah.
But when you're on one wheel and it's going to the side, you know, with sparks flying, all of a sudden you get a glance of it. I'm like, oh. So then there's what? Like a shoulder that's probably 6 feet.
Just wide enough for us, yeah. Oh,
barely fit. And then there's these semis just whizzing by.
I was going to say, now you got them flying by.
And every time a semi went by, we did this.
Oh, yeah.
And we're just like, I can't even get out and look at it, man. This is insane. And so finally call 911, right? And we're like, yeah, this is not safe. We're in the middle of a highway with hardly any shoulder. And then some angel trucker.
Oh, that's right.
Tow truck guy showed up.
Yeah.
He had two brand new wheels for us. And they matched our vehicle. And he straight up just changed them right there in the spot.
The good Lord intervenes.
Man. Yeah, I mean, we were on the side of the road, though, for like, what, 2 hours, 3 hours, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think police were basically like, well, good luck. I mean, we'll radio out and whatever. And then, I mean, we also found out Pennsylvania, everything apparently closes at like 6 p.m. on a Friday. It's like maybe 7 or 8.
Yeah, and, I mean, and
everything was closed.
On top of that, you know, COVID was still going on.
True, yeah.
And so you remember when we touched down from the airport, we got there.
Oh, yeah.
They still had mask mandates.
Mask central, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tough. We were stranded for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow.
But we made her back.
Yeah.
It's a good story. You know, nothing comes easy. Nothing good comes easy, right?
No.
Nothing. No, and just, you know, and Kyle and Stokes and Sean Lutz were awesome, and we're still good friends. As you know, he still buys stabilizers from us.
Yeah.
So he definitely is a good teacher, because we have continued the quality and durability of his product.
Yeah, we've always wanted to maintain the integrity that they put into the company, so we thrive on that, right?
Absolutely.
Stokerized, get it moved in. I come off a leave. I'm like, wow, where are you guys going to put this stuff? It's there. You guys made it work, but man, it was everything was super tight, and now we're trying to build more machines, and we're literally, I mean, the only space we had left was the bathroom to put a jig in, which obviously we couldn't do that. So you begin the process of looking for a new facility. So walk us through that. Like, what was your thought? Were you initially right away thinking, hey, I think we should have a range and all of that, or was it, or did it just kind of come out of necessity or the opportunity?
Totally necessity. 'Cause you know, you're limited for production by your space.
Yeah.
So I knew that if we were going to keep growing, that we needed the space to grow into.
Right.
And so that was the number one factor. And after we got Stokerized settled in and, you know, got, you know, wheels turning and things were 100% smooth, I was like, John, I'm going to be gone a while because I got to find us a new home. And so, yeah, I just, you know, kept driving around the area, looking at equestrian centers because it has all this acreage, you know,
right.
And they have this huge barn that's like, you know, HVAC. And I couldn't get the zoning because even though it had tactiles were okay, I was like, tactile strings, like textiles, excuse me.
Yeah.
We could totally do this. Like, you know, maybe we'll make it work. But none of the cities that I was talking to would let it fly because I was like, oh, we could do an outdoor 3D shoot, you know?
Yeah.
And of course. And so it just seemed really cool to me at the time. And then I wised up and I was like, dude, we're stuck 6 months out of the year here in Minnesota. I was like, we need to build an indoor haven for people that don't want to freeze their buns off and still shoot archery.
Right.
And so that's why I was like, you know, we're going to do a large warehouse and we're going to build a wall, a great wall, and it's going to separate the manufacturing from the indoor range. And so that's what we did. And we got, you know, a little bit of a retail front up front here. Definitely boutique feel. We sell amazing strings here. Arrowrest, stabilizers. Don't know if you guys heard of them.
The boutique.
Yeah. And then obviously all the other products that we 100% believe in and can vouch for because we've used them in the field. Obviously we carry those as well.
Yeah. And we've built a lot of relationships over the years. And so that was a major source for, you know, the decisions that we made as far as which products we were going to bring in and which ones we were going to carry. So I remember when we first came into the building and we were looking around and Rory's like, okay, this is my vision. We want to do this. We want to do that. He's like, we're going to rip this wall out and then we're going to build this wall. And I was like looking at it and I'm like, that's like 20 feet tall. And it was what, 140 feet long?
Yes, sir.
And I was like, who's going to build that? And he looks at me in Hollywood. He's like, you guys are. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was happy to find out that you eventually did get a crew to do it, but we did the rest. So that was,
You know, the things that, take the longest labor-wise, sometimes it's your best interest to pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, but the things that are specialized and or, you know, us three can do on, Wednesdays and Thursdays you guys came?
I gotta say, we did a great job.
We did an amazing job. I mean, we had our, I had my general contractor onesies. Guys had your onesies and, we swung a lot of sledgehammers.
Get Rage Against the Machine going.
Oh yeah. That was weird. Me and Hollywood are strategically trying to take walls down and so that it's for easy cleanup and we're maintaining pretty good. And then Rory just come in with a sledgehammer and he was just all right, I need to blow some steam, guys. And just went to town, man. There was
whole wall would come mangled. Down one swing.
I mean, we took out eight offices.
Yeah,
four in that.
Yeah, you guys did. I think you and Lauren did all these ones. This was all cleaned up, I think, by the time.
Yeah,
I
was just carpet involved.
But then we did the other side of the building, and that was fun. That was cool.
Really, yeah, and just to give everyone that is not aware, but our building was an old machine shop for 25 years.
Yeah.
And so it was a little dirty. And so it was our job to clean it up. And we did. We put a lot of elbow grease in this thing and it shows. I mean, this place is immaculate now.
Big props to Megan because she did a ton.
Yeah.
She did.
She was here.
Very, very blessed to have her as our commercial painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say she painted
every inch in this building, I think, all 25,000 square feet of it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because I don't like painting. And I especially hate drywall now.
Yeah. Oh,
man. You just disliked it a little bit. Now you hate it.
By the end of it, I was an expert. I'm maybe I don't need to work at Vapor Trail anymore. I'll just become a drywall guy. But
yeah, that'd be
just fun. Yeah, there were certain spots I left on purpose because you were so good at it. I was like, oh, I'll get that. I'll move on to the next thing.
I walk around, I'm like, oh, man, I see the flaws. But anyway.
Every week, it was just daunting, just walking in here, just now what do we have to do? This is never going to end. And we had a set date of when this needed to be done.
Oh, yeah. So, just to give you a time frame. So we closed in October. It was mid-October.
Yeah.
The seller did not actually get out of the property until it was the day after Christmas. I remember that was the first day I finally got to walk in here with no one. I was like, wow, this place is huge. It's awesome. Echoey. And yes, and I had that scary feeling of, you got a lot of shit to do, boy. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And so, and then I want to say it started immediately for me after that. And I remember talking to my wife. I was like, so you're not going to see me for a while. Yeah. I'm pretty much going to move up there. So,
yeah.
So 7 days a week, probably, 7 to 7. That's what it felt like. And that was for almost 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
777.
Spring is here and turkey hunting is in full swing. Successfully killing a turkey with a bow is extremely challenging, so after you notch that tag, be sure to give your bow some love by installing a brand new set of Vapor Trail VTX bow strings. Our proprietary VTX material with sci-fi technology, set it and forget it, is proven to hold up better in varying weather conditions, includes a lifetime service guarantee against manufacturer defects, and are available in thousands of color combinations to match your custom archery setup. With our 3-day ship guarantee, you can be back up and running in no time flat. Contact your local dealer or give us a call at 888-BOWSTRING. That's 888-BWSTRNG. Quit your crying and have confidence in your equipment with Vapor Trail VTX Bowstrings.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And here this whole time, when you were gone and people would come by and they'd be like, where's Rory? And I thought you were taking day flights down to Cancun or something, partying and having a good time. Yeah. But
Mai Tais on a rooftop somewhere.
Yeah. With Steve.
Yeah.
Both Steves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But we put a lot of work in and, more so you because Hollywood and I think it was just Thursday.
Started with just one day a week, Wednesdays, I think, and then it was
Thursday. Up really quick to pretty much all the time.
Yeah, it did, actually. Yeah, but amazing, because I remember sitting in there when we were ripping up that carpet, and Andy, I didn't think we'd get the carpet ripped up in time for the grand opening, but he was asking me, he's like, so you think it's going to be open by June 1? I'm like, was it June?
June 22nd.
June 22nd was the...
somewhere in there. I think it's June 17th was our first
soft opening.
Soft. Yeah. July 22nd, I think, was the,
the grand.
Yep, okay. That's right. So anyway, whatever the date was, and I was like, oof, I don't know, man. I'm like, you got a lot of stuff to do.
No, and
pulled it off.
It's all about having the right resources too. And not only that, like the proper connections. Like the city of Anoka was awesome to deal with. They were super cool. We did everything by the book, as far as the permits, everything.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's just like, okay, you got to have the right professionals and you got to get it done correctly and you got to do it for the right price. Otherwise you're, you know, going to go broke trying to build up an amazing building. So,
right.
So it's just a cool collaboration of family and friends and us all coming together to make it work. That was the coolest part about it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What we all did in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we get to enjoy on a daily basis.
Right. Right. And the national park theme, like throughout, was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then we had, was it a college class?
National park theme.
Made our sign, right? Yeah. They made our sign, our
A class.
Marquee that's out front.
Yeah, it was out, and was they're from Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so high school.
That was really kind of a cool thing that, you know, we got to do, and again, just with, you know, having Sasquatch in the, you know, in the pro shop and just all of that, just the theme was just it was brilliant. I was like, that's cool, you know, and all the signage that kind of goes along with it. It's really cool.
It made it easy to do since all that signage actually exists out there for, for other campgrounds.
Right.
It was just, I was like, that's the feel we want, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
It worked out awesome.
I remember like just coming in here again and just like hearing some of those people doubting, just like, there's no way. Like, cause we had to move June 1st, June 2nd out of the Ham Lake building.
Yeah, out of our
and everyone's like, it's not going to happen. I'm like, no. Rory, you don't know Rory then.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. Like, he's not going to take no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so props to you. You push that lever pretty harsh, and it works out. And I mean, we spent 18 hour days. I mean,
yeah,
we were here.
Most of us did.
Yeah.
And I think that
you have a kid. So,
well, that Friday we weren't supposed to start moving until like, I think it was 2 PM and then Comcast business totally screwed up and they like shut our phones line off. At like 8 in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
And we're just like, screw it. We're moving now.
Yep.
And then we just, we started moving early and we just kept going till Sunday night.
Yeah. 3 days straight.
I remember on the rooftop on Sunday sharing a beer with you guys.
Saying, yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was a long effing weekend.
Yeah. That was a whole nother deal too, because then Lance was kind of being, I won't say the word, but. And then it's like, well, you got to take this wall out and do this and put that railing back up. And then, we wanted to utilize like some of the old lumber because we repurposed a lot of that. Even the lumber that we ripped out in all those walls, we repurposed for some of the string building machines. Mm-hmm. And we still have a ton of it sitting back there that I'm sure we'll use for something eventually. But that was, I mean, that building was such a mess when we were in the process of moving things, because it was just like, you know, we had to move stuff from this side of the building to that side of the building so we could get this over there and then move it back over. And it was just, but just with the number of people that we had and, you know, everybody just kept moving, you know?
Yeah.
And if they weren't moving, it's like, well, then just move out of my way, you know, or go home.
I think it's 12 hours straight for almost every single person for 3 days.
Yeah.
Most people. Yeah. And we had some guys come back just to help out. And it was, it worked. It was perfect.
Yeah. And then, whiskey and beers on the roof after.
Yep.
That's the best way to celebrate a good, well job done.
Right.
Yeah.
Johnny got like the most amazing photo of me like standing there with my arms up and the sun's going down on the other side of me.
Behind you.
I'll put that picture up so people can see it. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was just when the job was done, it was like, I can't believe we pulled that off. I just can't.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was really cool. And just going back through the shop too, I take a lot of pride in everything that we did, because we did a lot of work and
just
miraculous how we were all able to make it work and get everybody together and well-oiled machine, honestly.
And now we have the production capacity to, you know, get things done in a 3-day period,
as far as
like us having all the proper machines we need, all the right number of guys. And then not only that, we actually get to work in a cool environment, which that helps a lot.
Yeah.
It's nice to not work in a sweat factory with packed in like sardines.
Yeah. You're literally talking air temperature, cool environment.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool. The guys get to go shoot their bow for lunch. But I mean, yeah, yeah. Previously it was not air conditioned.
Yeah. And now I still get complaints because, you know, it's a little chilly in here. I'm just like, you don't know.
Just
put a sweatshirt on, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you bought the company, we had done some things to keep it a little cooler in there. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was just whatever the air temperature was is what we were working in. And there was some days where it'd be, you know, 90 degrees up there easy. And all that humidity and everything rises up. So you're up there working in literally just like your underwear and sweating.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we did. It was just part of the job.
Well, and for the guys that have built strings, if they're listening to this, they know you can't run a fan on yourself when you're building a string. Yeah. You cannot do it because you have a flame open. And it's just going to ruin your string.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, but it's tough.
It's unfortunate too, at the same time, that we didn't have better conditions because we would have been so much more productive. You know what I mean? Because I don't care who you are. I can sit here and talk about how we were, you know, so much, you know, so amazing because we could work in the heat. I mean, it slowed you down.
Oh, for sure.
Big time. Mm-hmm. And so we eventually got to a point where it's like, man, we got to do something about this. I mean, we had guys dropping like flies. Couldn't keep them busy. Couldn't keep them on because they just get too exhausted, you know. And beautiful facility to work in now.
Right.
Super efficient. We've got everything very strategically located, so everything flows well. We're poised to do well in the bowstring department this year. We're already doing really good to start, and it's only going to get better from here on out. So that three-day guarantee, everybody's probably been seeing us pushing that.
Yeah, bringing it back. That's what we're doing, is just bringing it back, you know.
We're going to stick to it.
Now that COVID's over and we're in our new facility where we have the capacity, so we are back to old times.
So the pro shop, how are we doing in the pro shop? As far as like memberships doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say all eyes are on me.
You are the GM.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do help run the pro shop. More like I do run the pro shop.
Yep.
We have 24/7 access now with this big building, and yeah, we've got quite a few, members that sign up for that. And I mean, we haven't hit the triple digits yet, but
tell them the cool thing about that.
What's that? Our 24/7 access.
Yeah.
What they're getting.
Well, I mean, so 24-hour access, I'll just go ahead. I'll chime in.
Yeah.
So all the platinum members, when you sign up, you get a card swipe. And so you get that. And so the member door obviously has a card swipe. You swipe it and you come on in anytime you want, 24 hours, 7 days a week. And you got a 40-yard indoor range, fully heated, fully air conditioned, with a sink, Coke machine. You got some snacks.
A couch.
I mean, there's an Amazon Fire TV if you want to Netflix it out.
Yeah. And first date night, go right there.
Yeah. Netflix and chill.
Yeah. We have a great group of guys, though. I mean, the members here, I mean, we already created that core, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And like Rick and I touched on it on the last podcast, that's where, you know, we had that sort of thing years ago when I was first getting into the archery, the 24/7 club. And Rory won't let us have a pizza maker, but he says something about insurance has something to do with that. But
burning the building down or something, I don't know. But
I know every time I walk in there, it's my pizza.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
It'd be great, but yeah, the fire hazard is far too large.
Mm-hmm. Cokes are great.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, we have a great community already, you know, built up, and, you know, a great group of customers and guys that are more like friends almost at this point. You know, great to just build that community and, you know, be able to BS with them. But
and no longer is weather a factor in whether you get to go shoot or not.
Yeah. You can tune out to 40 yards, you know, with no variables, you know, other than yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the great part of it. And yeah, I mean, the pro shop comes with a techno hunt. Mm-hmm. I remember you installing that with the techno hunt guy as well. I mean, having that other tunnel, I think that kind of came as a surprise a little bit. I think that was kind of the
people didn't know about.
I don't think my plans even for the, I knew for about the tunnel. It. And then you're like, yeah, we got techno hunt coming in. So, yeah, I mean, we've got techno hunt open for public and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. which is at 20 yards, right? And we have another line for kids at 10.
Yep, exactly. And so that's going well. I mean, there's definitely some learning curves with software with that thing. But, I mean, it's pretty sweet. And
you can hunt elk indoors now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also in an air-conditioned, non-rainy environment. Yeah. So, or heated environment, too.
And the cool thing I like about Techno Hunt is you get to use your entire setup. I mean, all you do is take off your field points and put on the blunt tips.
Yep.
And you don't have to change anything.
Just right.
Go and shoot the line.
My favorite thing is the bugs. I like to shoot the bugs.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Really helps their accuracy shooting a smaller being.
Aim small, miss small.
There you go. Yeah.
Those things fire me up.
But at the same time, too, like you said, with anything that's like technological, sometimes it doesn't, register correctly. But either way, it's so fun.
Right.
Get a couple buddies, it's a blast.
Yeah.
It's a blast. And you're not beating up a target and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Saves life of the blocks out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we had that date for moving here and then did our soft open mid-June. And then that's when everything really came alive, was like, okay, July 22nd, I think, is when we were going to do it. The big grand opening. And
yeah,
man, that was...
That was cool.
That was insane.
I remember driving here.
We had over 200 people.
And you guys telling me how many people were there. I was wow.
I'm just like, wow, this is awesome.
It happened.
Immaculate. Definitely free tacos, I think, helped.
Free tacos,
yeah.
I didn't even get one.
I got the last one.
They were tasty.
You're welcome.
All of a sudden, I see him driving off. I'm like, no.
Yeah, he did such a good job. I'm a big fan of tacos. He was out there for like 3 hours. How did you not get a taco?
We had so many people. Yeah.
Well, and I probably spent more time in the back, like touring with people and, kind of shooting the shit.
The
and everything.
Private tours.
And, yeah. So that was the day just flew by,
It didn't have anything to do with the keg in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Keg. What? There was? Might have had a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a cool day. And I think we were hanging mounts on the wall the day before, weren't we?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it was just like we couldn't decide where they were going to go, so I'm like, we're just going to hang them up and then we can adjust them later. And I
think you guys went home and then I actually changed them.
Yeah, right.
Was that the soft opening? We did that?
It had to be.
Because I know there was a lot of stuff that changed in that first month.
That's
right.
I mean,
like we just threw Band-Aids and just threw it up for June soft open to be ready.
Yeah.
And I think you and I were here.
That's why you always do a soft opening.
Right.
Yeah.
For any other business owners out there, and you have a retail location, always do a soft opening.
Yeah. That was smart.
Work some kinks out, because, boy, we're there.
It was the best decision we ever made. Yeah. It just made, what it did? It made the grand opening that much more fun.
Yeah.
Because we had our shit straight by then.
Yeah, everything was functioning. I knew how to work a POS system, which I didn't know anything about until the day we opened on the soft open. So, it was good practice, and it was smooth. It was smooth.
So, the pro shop, we got a full service pro shop. We got certified bow technicians.
Yeah, right? So all three. You're looking at them.
We've been doing it for a long time already up to that point, but then, so we went to the George Chapman.
We were just basement bandits, though. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Right. What is the George Chapman School of Archery?
Archery, yeah.
Something like that.
You can tell me it's the School of Excellence, and I might say yes, but I think it's School of Archery.
With Steve Van Zyl, like New York's state champion, 25 times.
Yeah.
I'm just making that up. I don't know. But he's really well known out there. Mm-hmm. Big with PSE, buddies with all the head honchos up there. When that whole like new acquisition was going on and everything, we kept hitting him up like, Steve, what's going on? Come on, buddy. Give us something. He wouldn't give us anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very, very quiet on that one. I'm surprised we didn't break him.
Right?
I know.
And he's such a cool dude. Like so the three of us fly out to New York, right, for this. And we got paired up with another pro shop that's out in that area, Dan and his dad from Huntworks, a couple other really cool guys. They're dealers of ours now, so they sell our bowstrings and our arrow rests. And that was fun. That was a blast. Like steak dinners every night. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Breakfast with Steve. every morning.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that. What was it, like 7:30 in the morning, 7 in the morning?
His bottomless cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Man, I think he drank like 10 a day.
Yeah. And it was caffeine free.
I think it was actually decaf.
He could do 10 a day.
Yeah.
Decaf, yeah.
Otherwise, his little heart would be pumping like a hummingbird.
Yeah. He's getting up there in age. And I'm like, this dude's slugging down coffee. I mean, how is he still got it? But then we figured it out.
Yeah. No, that was a cool time we got to spend with him.
Yeah.
And great education, right? Like, I know that we already knew a lot, but like, just having any kind of refresher like that, and you get to learn other ways to do things too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what's really cool.
Yep. And we taught him how to set up limb drivers because he didn't teach them at that time. He basically just taught cable driven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then we added limb driven technology to his curriculum.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a forever friend, I'd say. Now, I mean, like, we see him at ATA show and just say, hey, what's up, man? And, you know, tell him that Matthews is better. I mean, he loves that. Oh, so if you ever meet Steve Van Zyl, just tell him Matthew's better. So
he loves to bust your chops, man.
I know.
He loves to bust your chops. But
he's
a
great sport.
He had a lot of funny things to say about Matthews.
And he put us in touch with our pro shop equipment, too.
Yeah. That is where we learned about, ATC, Archery Tooling Company, I believe is what they call it.
Yeah.
Amazing presses and droppers. I mean, all their tools are awesome. Just awesome. And had no idea about them until we got there. And then it was like, whoa, these are nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a cool addition there that we have that a lot of other pro shops maybe don't. And what else? So we talked about the Techno Hunt. We talked about the range. What about product launches since you jumped on board? So far in your tenure, we've released the Pro V X, the new Pro V, which is the Pro V with the Pro V X cage on it. And then, of course, Gen Integrate and Integrate X.
Right. So we'll start with the Pro V X and the Pro V. You know, what fascinated me about the Pro V was just the almost like cult following. It's like such a classic in the archery industry, and bulletproof design. And you know, I know you probably said this is like our biggest problem is that our products are too well built, so they don't buy another one.
They last too long.
Like
a product for life. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's hard to make something better that's already that good, but I know that, you know, just like your Apple iPhone, or, you know, you drive a Chevy Silverado, you know, you kind of want a newer addition. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a little bit newer technology out there that you can tweak and make it a little bit cooler, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's all we did. We just, you know, instead of the aluminum 6061 cage, which holds up great, but, you know, maybe people want a slimmer design. Maybe you want the carbon cage with the rubber overmold for increased quietness.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about micro adjustment windage and elevation?
Yep.
You know, so I just, for all those people out there that love the Pro V model, I just wanted to give them something a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
And a little bit more streamlined, slim. And so that's what we did. And it was pretty cool at the time because that was mid 2021. I think it was June 2021 we launched that. And so that was when the IMS was gaining some traction, you know. And so, like, our Gen 7 7X were not fitting on a lot of the Matthews. And so the Pro VX did.
Yeah.
And so that helped out a lot as far as fitment issues.
And we developed the Matthews-specific bracket for that, which was a whole different design that that you'd never seen in the industry. So
right.
That was very innovative.
Yep. And idea. we patented that bracket. That is pretty cool. You know, I don't want to go into too much detail because it's hard to visualize in your mind, but you can check it out on our website, the Pro VX Matthews bracket. You should be able to see it. And then, so the Pro V new edition was basically just, you know, now have an opportunity for customers to pick out a color with the carbon cage and rubber overmold. So again, if you don't want the black 6061 aluminum, you can now match your setup with your custom colors. And then that brings us to what? The Gen 8, 8X.
Yep.
So that was a long time coming, the 8, we'll call it the 8X series. We talked to QAD, and I think it was 2020, we asked them. We was like, hey, can we get a license agreement? No. And then called them 21. Hey, can we get a license agreement? No. Finally, 22, we got one. At least we got the nod that we're going to get one. So we immediately started, you know, scrambling. And we wanted to build it on our more popular 7, 7X series. And so that's what we did. And obviously now fits on the integrated mounting system. And now it's our best-selling arrow rest. It's really taken off. As you know, the 8 is our standard model where, you know, you can you don't have windage in, micro adjustment for windage or elevation, and then you don't have bottom limb attachment as well option, where the 8X has all those things.
Yep.
And so that I would say is the benefit of it is that being streamlined to fit on the Matthews V3, V3X, and Phase 4. It was actually built around that model, so that's why it looks so damn good on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then,
go ahead.
No, go.
Oh, I was going to say, we also have a Bowtech version because their cable guard is super thin, but in the way where our windage, when you go over, we had to make our own bracket, which fits perfectly now for the Bowtech series, the newer Bowtech models with the integrate. And then we're in the process of looking at the PSE Mach 34 coming out, the version of that. We have, I don't want to give too much, but we definitely have some other arrow rests in the pipeline that we're working on. One you might see this year for sure.
That'll be sweet.
Just I'll leave it at that.
For sure. So let's talk about the some of the design innovations that you've brought to the table too. So with the Pro VX, you had the inspiration for going with like a Tron theme. And when he had at first presented it to me, I was kind of like, well, you know, like retro kind of 80s thing. And I was like, well, you know, start putting it together. And then once it was done, it was like, wow, this looks really cool. Like, this is really going to stand out on the shelf, you know, and just, you know, get people's attention to looking at it and then going, oh, this is, you know. And then moving forward now to the Gen Integrate, again, just being, you know, we're Xennials, right? So we, like, grew up in the 80s. We're like mid between Gen X and Millennials, and but just the G.I. Joe, you know, as boys we grew up on G.I. Joe, right?
Everything, yeah.
And so Rory is like, I got an idea. What do you think? And I was just like, G.I. Joe. That's, I mean, because G.I. 8,
Gen
and
Integrate.
Then Gen Integrate. It just, the way that it all came together, I'm just like, it's like, man, this is perfect. This is brilliant.
Well, I mean, that's when I came to you and I go, Rick, when I open up this arrow rest, I want it to feel like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Because it's like that nostalgia of opening, ripping open a new G.I. Joe that you just convinced your mom to buy you when you're at the grocery store, and you kind of, you know, you might have just thrown it in the basket. That I just remember, like when I was a kid, that was probably my most exciting part of growing up in the days, is just, you know, having my G.I. Joe characters.
Yeah.
And then of course blowing them up later on when you get older.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And then, so I remember some of the inspiration that you sent me, you know, some of the old packaging and stuff. And I was looking at all the old characters and all the names and started thinking about, you know, that was like the next question. It was like, okay, so who's going to be like our G.I. Joe on the cover of the packaging? And it was like, should Rory be on there? Should I be on there? We talked about putting Spencer on there. Yeah. And then it's like, well, hey, you know, we have these partners, mm-hmm. right? And so we had just started a sponsorship with Jason Matzinger that year. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, that's perfect. And then we've had, and he's been, for the record, he's been shooting our stuff for a really long time.
Yeah.
But we finally just made it official. And cause it's just like, that's kind of what we want.
Yeah. You know, I don't, he's our real live, Vapor Trail action hero.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's only right that we make him a figure, right?
Exactly. And that's what we always have kind of strived for, is we want people to shoot our stuff because they like it, not because we're writing them a check. And then we had already had a long standing relationship with Steve Eklund at The Edge TV. And so it was really cool having the conversations with those guys. Cause I started out the conversation by saying, how would you like to be a real American hero? And Steve Eklund being Canadian, you know, but he was like, yeah. Oh, he was so, super excited. And Steve said that, you know, he used to work in marketing. He was just like, This is great. And Jason was like, man, I'm super excited. I can't wait to see what you do, how you come up with what you're planning on doing. And it all just came together really, really nicely.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of attention at the ATA show. People would see the little tent we had in the aisle, even mm-hmm. though it made all the ATA people mad. Cause
we could walk around it.
Yeah.
It's in the way.
But yeah. That's what I was like, man, just let's get it out there to let people see it, you know, and they would stop on a dime and come in the booth and take mm-hmm. a look at stuff. So
we had our phase four up with it looking sexy on it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that was really cool. It was really awesome when I was like posting it out there and stuff. And then, you know, Jason and Steve were sharing it, and we sent them, even though they both shoot prime and can't mount them on their bows right now
yet.
We sent them each one, you know, so that they could put mm-hmm. it in their trophy room. And speaking of, I'm still waiting for them to give a little post of, you know, whatever they built or however they're having it displayed. Steve was like, oh, I'm going to build a shadow box for it and put it up on the wall. So we'll see what he awesome. Ended up doing with it. But, so that was really cool. It was putting together, being afforded the time now to like actually put together, a decent launch video. You know, make some really cool teasers to get people kind of jazzed up about it. And I have to say that is part of the success, but mostly just the functionality and the fact that now it's like you have this awesome platform that you can fit onto the integrating mounting system, and mm-hmm. you can get it on a Matthews, because so many of those Matthews guys were just like, man, I really wish I could shoot this, but mm-hmm. you know, and the Pro VX was
referring to the 7.7X fans, right?
Yeah.
That wanted it on their Matthews.
Yeah.
So that was the main momentum behind the 8X series.
Is right.
And making it happen.
And the Pro VX was, you know, it was an option, but so many guys want full capture. They don't want to have the full capture cage.
Yep.
And so, you know, once that came out, people were super excited about it and they flew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now we have something that fits everything. Mm-hmm. If it's got the IMS for the most part, with, you know, Bowtech needing their bracket, a couple bows needing their own, but yeah, it fits everything. It makes us relevant to the IMS, and we're one of three companies that have that IMS
mount. That we are aware of. Yes. I'll say it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I want to say it's Pure Archery Group that,
yeah.
Yeah, the only other ones that have the integrated
mounting
system besides QAD. Obviously.
So the Ripcord, and then they have kind of an Octane one.
Yep, Octane. Yeah. Yep. Those are the only two other we've seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it puts us right back on the map. You know, it's an awesome rest, being able to fit. And you're right, man, it looks sleek. It looks so nice, mm-hmm. Especially on the Matthews. But anything else, I'd say too. Even on that PSE Fortis, it was looking pretty nice,
mm-hmm.
especially in purple.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then are we allowed to talk about our new baby that we possibly could be coming out here shortly?
You're the owner, you tell me, bud.
Well, you know, sometimes you're allowed to kick me in the shins.
This could be the launch of it, but we can always, you know,
throw some Easter eggs out.
We can always But yeah, I think we should. I already kind of threw one out a little bit on the outdoor podcast with Dave and Tim at the outdoor podcast.
I just won't go into hyper detail, you know, just a little bit. But I mean, so basically we are coming out with a you know, I would say an industry disruptor a little bit for quick disconnect. I'm not going to say the name of it, but you know, my biggest complaint about quick disconnects is they're not that quick. You still have to unscrew them. And before you, you know, take them out of the actual, you know, whether it's a circular dovetail or what, and it still is a pain in the butt. Not only that, your logo is always cattywampus. And then if you like to run an SS1 or stasis,
like an offset bracket.
Offset bracket, yeah. You know, beasting or causing what, the counterslide. Mm-hmm. So if you do any of that, the biggest complaint is your angle is never the
indexing,
same.
Indexing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your rotational degree of your angles is something that you're always messing with when you're traveling to A to B, as far as, you know, packing away your bow in your bag and then breaking it out, getting ready to go hunt or go shoot. And so we've now come up with a solution where it fixes all those things, where it is a simple lever and it comes, there's no twisting involved. Your logo will always be straight. If you run a counter slide or SS1 or a stasis, that again, your rotational angle will always be there. My biggest, I guess, love for it is the fact that it disconnects so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an actual quick.
It's beautiful. It really is. It's something that has been needed for quite some time, because the old quick disconnect that we had, although it worked, I can't tell you how many times I was out in the field and it's dark. You know, you're going to go turkey hunting or you're going to go bow hunting or something like that, and you're trying to thread that bolt, that lever in, and then you've got the weight of the stabilizer preventing you from, you know, indexing it properly, and and it was just, you're fighting with it and then dropping it, and now you got to get on your hands and knees in the dark, and then you, you know, so it was just, it was not convenient, and this thing is just like,
one thumb lever and it's off.
And it's, the tolerances are all very tight. There's no slop. There's no movement in it. I didn't, you know, when we're shooting it, there's no movement at all. It's solid. It's tight. Yeah.
And it's patented. That's the best part.
Yeah. Just a little fun part. This weekend at the 3D shoot, I literally threw my bow just on the ground. And Caitlin and Luke were just laughing at me like, what the heck? Like, who is this guy? Like, well, if my stuff can't hold up to it, I don't want it when I'm hours from being helped.
Yeah.
And granted, it's just a, you know, quick disconnect. Didn't budge. I mean, nothing did at all. But I'm just like, so many guys are so light on their equipment. But it's like, what if you do fall? I mean, I did in North Dakota. I fell, slammed my bow into the rocks. And I mean, luckily it was fine. But I'm like, okay, I want everything to be solid. And that thing doesn't move.
Or it's when you got so your bow attached to your pack and you're just, you know, crawling through trees and stuff.
Trudging through it. It's better hold up. If it doesn't hold up, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
It's nice. I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, I'm super excited. And then even so, you know, we're in our like R&D phase. We've got a number of people that have it on their bows for turkey season. And we just hope that we can have someone get some success. That way we can get some really good shots of it. And then we're going to get right into the marketing side of things again. I'm going to have the joys of filming and editing and doing all that, and putting together some really cool content.
Yeah.
And even better than what I've done before. Now I have the help of Damon Wolf from Wolf Media. And so he's a very talented individual, takes some great photos, great video. And so, yeah, we're going to be putting together some really cool stuff.
Maybe we should come up with another theme for this one.
Yeah.
Some Barbie, maybe? Talking
no no you
man, the gears are turning right now in my head. I'm trying to think like what else is there.
Well, we already said it once, but we don't want to give too much away. Has to do with mustaches.
Well, I was also thinking like maybe some MacGyver-ish kind of thing too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, going back to the 80s or whatever. But so we got that going. That's part of the future.
And that'll be coming we'll go ahead and say this fall.
Maybe sooner.
Maybe sooner.
I don't know, but it's always good to be stay on the safe side and just try not to make any empty promises. But that's kind of how things go with this, with machining and anodizing and you know, it's a process. The R&D phase.
Making sure your product is rock solid, yep, right?
The R&D phase is the most critical. So what else? What else do we got going on for Vapor Trail Stoker Eyes coming up in the future that we can talk about? I mean, we've got a lot of irons in the fire, you know. I mean, we'd be in trouble if we didn't have ideas constantly brewing, you know. But you know, we had I would say a pretty successful league season here, mm-hmm, at the shop, you know, for our first run at it, and you know, we hope to grow it. We had a couple of really fun shoots, and we've got some good feedback from a lot of people and some really good ideas for what we want to do next year. We're going to step it up and do some fun stuff, maybe have some shoot downs under the lights instead, okay, of, you know, do some cool stuff like that. Put some pressure on some guys, you know,
yeah,
mm-hmm, get the heart pumping a little bit while they're trying to win some money.
I'm very excited about this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we had some really cool stuff coming up. We got some guys that are turkey hunting professionals, whitetail, elk, and then, you know, maybe some that might have had a mishap with, you know, a bear attack.
Right.
So we got some exciting content coming up. And, you know, I feel like there's nothing cooler than when you really like a brand that brand opens up the door where you can kind of, you know, go down the rabbit hole with them.
Right.
You get to see, you know, a little behind the scenes, what's going on, the people that are involved, methods, process, and just the ideologies of the company. And so, mm-hmm, I feel like this really gives us the opportunity to share that now with our customers and dealers. Right. And hopefully they can be a part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, you know, we had kind of discussed this, you know, a few years back about having a podcast, and I was like, oh yeah, that'd be a good idea. And then it just, so many things were coming at us so quick that it was kind of an afterthought. And then, and it wasn't even really on the radar until, you know, at ATA. And then I had somebody approach me about doing a podcast with them. And then again, just some marketing challenges that we knew we were going to run into this upcoming year. And so it was like, this is the perfect time to pivot and do that. And then, and still knowing there's so many people out there that have never heard of us, we're going, mm-hmm, into our 30th year of business, and there's still so many people that don't know about us, you know. It's like, so how do we get on the map, you know, and do some things to really kind of brand, you know, create some brand awareness.
Right.
And so that's really where a lot of this came up, and, you know, just doing as many podcasts as I could to knock off the cobwebs and having conversations about what equipment we need and all that kind of stuff. And then I approached Hollywood. I was like, what do you think about doing a podcast? And he was just like, I'm in, you know. It was like, not even like, whatever. I'm like, cool. All right. Well, let's, you know. And so, it just, the whole process has been a lot of fun, and having these conversations is really cool. Like, and I can't wait to get into the weeds with some of these other guys that we are going to have coming up on the podcast. A lot of experts in the field when it comes to everything that you said, you know, elk, deer, turkey. I mean, just bow hunting, archery, target archery in general, all that kind of stuff. And just looking forward to bringing back that at the range feel. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just here to shoot our bows and hang out and have a good time and, you know, blow off some steam and whatever else, mm-hmm, you know. And unfortunately we can't, you know, cook a pizza, but we can order one.
You can order. Yeah.
There we go. in that day and age now, right, where we can do that. So yeah, I thank you for saying that, because that's going to be a huge part of what we're doing this upcoming year. And just look forward to seeing all the people that choose to follow, mm-hmm, along and ask questions and all that kind of stuff. So
right. And I think that, you know, for people that listen and follow us, they'll be more educated, and they'll be able to kind of track where we're at as far as new products coming out.
Right.
As far as where we're headed as a company as well. And, you know, we talk about not just Vapor Trail, we talk about all new things in the, mm-hmm, industry. Mm-hmm. So it's just a good way to stay up to speed.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about, all that aside, what about what about this upcoming year as far as hunts? You got anything planned or just vacations or
no? I mean, typical whitetail. You know,
yeah.
I'm kind of a old school Texan bow hunter, so it's that and hog hunting. So
yeah.
I'll be doing that come September, of course, and then whitetail. Yeah, with my father-in-law, probably Wisconsin, coming September, August.
With the 100-foot tree stand?
With the 100-foot tree stand, yeah. It'd be really hard to take a sniper shot from there. It's that tall. Yeah, you're better off just 20, 30 feet up in your normal tree stand. That one's a little too high.
Tell us more about the 100-foot. Well, it's not really a tree stand, but it's like a...
It's a house built 100 feet up. Dude, yeah. It has an elevator. It has a shower, a bathtub, a kitchen. Yeah, no, what? I'm just like, oh, yeah, and they're almost done with it. And I've been, like, telling my father-in-law, I was like, hey, so after this is done, like, you're going to watch the kids so my wife and I can have date night maybe up there. Well, mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You just walk out there, and it feels like, you know, the old school... like fire towers
mm-hmm.
yeah.
in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
All you just look out and there's
that's what I envision.
A horizon of trees, man. It's just so gorgeous out there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And not to mention that, you know, you can see a few lakes too. I mean, you can see deer walk in there and you're so, when you're 100 feet up, they can't smell you. I promise. So yeah, it's great for nature watching too. So it's good.
It makes me want to say, like, what in the Airbnb is going on up there?
Yeah. There you go. That's actually a smart idea.
Sounds like what he's pying off mm-hmm. for.
A good amount of money.
Yeah. I'm waiting to get invited, though, to go out west. So that's you know, whenever I get the invite.
Makes you feel any better, I got all my points. And I got my first year of not drawing for a bighorn sheep in Colorado. So,
yeah.
I mean, I got a few years for that. So,
got it.
Yeah.
We're going to find out about North Dakota here in a couple of days. So, That'll be cool to see how that goes, because if me and you and Damon and Griffin draw, man, we're going to go make
that deer.
We're going to go make a movie.
That'd be sweet.
Not that kind of movie.
Yeah.
A deer hunting movie. Or maybe just a running around in the hills and watching sunsets movie. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But I have a feeling at least one deer is going to die.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But that's contingent upon all of us drawing. But who knows? We'll see what happens with that. If I don't draw that tag, hopefully I draw a bear tag here in Minnesota, and I'll go and suffer up in the Boundary Waters again for a week.
I'll just do my OTC tag, do some public land maybe.
There you go.
For that. But
North Dakota, you're talking?
No, for bear.
Oh,
because I've got another 6 years I got to wait. So
that's right.
I do like your bear tag story. That was really good when we were at ATA. You told the guys we were out to eat with. That was hilarious.
Oh, the...
I think it's OSG.
Are you talking about up in the Boundary Waters?
Yeah.
Oh, which part of, me getting stuck there?
Yeah.
Or like you getting
stuck
dying?
There? The whole thing is an adventure.
Funny?
It's all about the adventure,
I'm
man.
Just kidding. No, I'm just joking with you, dude.
Yeah, no, it was exciting.
It was.
I think you should tell it now,
it
honestly.
It was dangerous. I think we'll save it for a different episode because we're kind of getting stretching for time, but I do want to have that conversation because we've talked about it on a couple other episodes, but we definitely do need to dive into the weeds with that because that was a cool hunt and it was very difficult and it's something that I'm cool if I don't draw the North Dakota tag because I do look forward to getting up there again right away. You know, I'm nervous about having like a gap year and then it fading away and not wanting to do it. You know, I got the drive to do it now. So, but who knows? We'll see. I'll be happy either way. What else do you have as far as like, so you did,
I'm running for birds right now, but I mean, are you talking for applications that are out?
Yep.
I mean, I did Colorado and then, I'm just going to do points in Montana and then maybe in Wyoming, but she's a fair bit expensive and they don't like non-res. So
yeah.
Then North Dakota, one of the guys here, going back to us having a community, kind of gave me a small invite down to Nebraska, and then another one this last weekend to South Dakota.
Cool.
As long as he's got the yes from the right people for South Dakota. So I might apply for South Dakota as well. Well, it's not might. I will. But there's two different tags you can get for that otherwise. Mm-hmm. So South Dakota, otherwise Nebraska, those two are up in the air. But I'm also looking for a house, so... Need to save some money somewhere.
You don't want to stay in your SUV?
Yeah, exactly. Be nice to move out. So, yeah, I mean, I got a lot. I mean, the whole bear hunting thing, whatever. Especially in the Boundary Waters. Boundary Waters can shove it, so.
Yeah, that's, I mean, get a couple under your belt first before you go try to do that.
Yeah. I'll leave it to you, experienced old men.
If your goal is to kill a bear, don't go to the Boundary Waters because it's probably not going to happen. You know, I'm seriously, it's, but I had planned on going up there anyways to do some, just fish and just get away, you know, and then it's like, well, I may as well apply for a bear tag. I'm probably not going to get it. And then I got it, you know, but then I didn't have the access permit and that. So you want to talk about things getting complicated, you know, as far as applying for stuff in other states, that's one that's, you know, something that would be good to educate people on, but at the same time, nobody wants to do it, so it's easy to get a tag. There's no, you don't have to have points, like you're almost guaranteed to get it.
Your first year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One and done?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why I didn't think I'd get it. I figured it'd take two at least, because you're looking at up in those quota areas, we're getting up into like 5-6 years now.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, just shocked that I got it. You know, it would have been cool to bring a bear home, but.
This year.
Yeah. We'll see. And that's something that we should do too. Now that you're a Minnesota resident, you know, getting up and when things start getting a little more streamlined and established here with the new building and all that kind of stuff. The problem is you gotta be out baiting like almost every weekend in August.
Well, that, I already told Wood, I was like, look, man, you take me to one of these hunts out west or in the area. I was like, It's a company trip, man. It's paid for. What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, the points are a different story.
All right. Elk it's called it is.
Research, yeah, I know.
Research is, and Montana. Development.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to. I mean, it's $1,200 for your combo tag.
Yeah. Oof.
She's tough.
Oh, I'll get out there one of these days. Yeah. Or we could do Idaho. You can do that kind of a little bit. It's like $600, but now you can't get a tag, I guess. It's like almost impossible.
Tough to get a tag, and then you're driving for 20 hours.
Oh, I can't remember how long it took for us to get out there, but it was
18 to 20 hours, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, thanks.
And of course, we drive straight through. You know, you can't make a stop along the way. Just got to get there, back.
Yeah, that's the way I roll, too.
I was going to say, that's Rory.
Yeah. I stopped once on the way to Texas.
All gas, no brakes.
Just to pee. Or not even, you're probably peeing in a Gatorade bottle or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, dumping it out the window.
I only do it when I roll solo, though.
Yeah, as common, I haven't seen that.
Common courtesy, right? And then, yeah, I got to get more diesel in my truck. Kansas City. That's where I stop.
Halfway.
Yeah,
halfway
was,
point. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like what? Isn't it like a third of the drive all Texas? I mean...
You're
on the north side.
I stay in North Dallas with a friend the first night I get there.
Yeah.
And then we go get our humble abode, our 1983 RV that we fixed up.
Oh.
And then we drive it out to West Texas to our family land.
All right. Yeah. Well, so that means we're going to have to do a home and away then, you know. You get invited out west and
of course.
We got to go down to Texas.
That's how it works, man.
Or Africa.
Yeah, or Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ways down the road for me.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I'm. It's a toss up for me about Africa. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a trade off. I mean, I'd like to go there just specifically to, you know, hunt those species that mm-hmm. are there, but the style of hunting isn't quite.
Yeah. It's too much
up my alley.
Holding your hand, kind of deal.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know, just sitting there waiting for them to come into, you know, a water hole or whatever.
Waiting
I mean,
for your cows to come home.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and, you're more about the stock, I guess.
And no judgment by any means
no.
on anybody. This is not, I get it. And I'm like with whitetails, it's, you know, it's a similar thing, right? But I don't know.
To each their own, man.
I like to chase stuff.
We've got our interconnections now.
Yeah.
With Africa.
Oh, yeah, we got a few.
So...
We got a few. Still doesn't make it cheap.
No.
Because I know if I go, I'm going to kill everything. Because I probably only want to do it once. So I'm just going to do everything I can.
Yeah.
And now you've got all those animals you got to get back, all the taxidermy, all that kind of stuff. So
go for broke, dude. That's the only way you can go.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So someday.
Well, Rory, thanks for hanging out at the range, man. We plan to have you on some future episodes with some upcoming product launches, that kind of thing. So yeah, really appreciate you coming on and you know, taking time out of your day, you know, coming up from Cancun for the day.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on. Pretty exciting stuff here. And yeah, looking forward to future episodes, man.
Thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
So if anyone has any questions, suggestions, or has any interest in being a guest on the Range podcast, you can reach out to me on Instagram at ricky.brewley80 or shoot me a message through our Vapor Trail Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube channels. You can also find us at the Range podcast on all major platforms. And where can folks find you at Hollywood if they have any questions?
Instagram is jakeivy3.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.